Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you did, because our good friend Grace Marie Turner is with us. Grace Marie is one of the world's experts on healthcare public policy. And she's also the president of the Galen Institute, which is an outstanding organization that focuses on the healthcare debate, the healthcare public policy debate. And not only mostly in the United States, but also worldwide. She's a respected scholar in these areas worldwide. And she's here to talk to us, as she does quite often, about what the current healthcare debate means to you and me and our small businesses. Grace Marie Turner, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. Grace Marie, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about first is something that I was told, I'm being told, was part of the stimulus bill, is that $3 billion, you know, the president wants to make medical records a lot more efficient and digitized, and I think that's a good thing. What I'm seeing here, $3 billion is set to computerize health records for every person in the United States by 2014. But the question is, and I don't know if you've been following this or not, is some people are concerned that this could give the government access to all of our records, and it could possibly impinge on our privacy. You have any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. And the reach of government just in the first month of this administration into our healthcare system is absolutely unprecedented and extraordinary. As part of the $800 billion economic stimulus bill, they have $20 billion for health information technologies. $3 billion of it set aside specifically to computerize medical records, but I'll tell you that is only a drop in the bucket of what's coming. And the health sector knows that we need to absolutely to bring more efficiency to our health sector by a better use of information and really a better use of information technologies. But when the government drives it, it sets the standards. It tells the Mayo Clinic what kind of records it's going to have in order to get paid for its services through public programs. The Mayo Clinic already has its own electronic health records. So does the Cleveland Clinic. Others that already have their own platforms. Vanderbilt University is one of the first ones to really get this right. They do need to be interoperative, but there are private companies that actually could allow us and allow people and allow physicians to be able to get the information they need in real time when they need it to make those records interactive. Instead, the government's going to say everybody has to have the same record, and frankly, it does absolutely jeopardize privacy. When the government controls something as personal and private as everything about your health care information, that to me is a very frightening prospect.
So you're saying this is not just about, and from what I'm hearing, this is not just about efficiency, this is about control.
Well, I think really, frankly, the whole thing is about, it's about government control, not over our health sector, but as we heard in President Obama's speech last night, education, energy, health care. These are tens of millions of new jobs that need to be funded in perpetuity by government and by tax money. That is truly unprecedented. He talked last night about the interstate highway system. Yes, that was to facilitate private commerce, and it was a time-limited project. This was not something that was going on forever.
Right.
And
right.
And this is government jobs that are going to be funded by government, tens of millions of people. I believe this changes the character of our country.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, the interstate highway, when they got those built, so those highways are being done by private companies.
Absolutely right. Well, and they'll say, too, that the same thing is going to be true here, but it's all going to be so controlled at a micro level by government. And the health information, these new electronic medical records are a good example, because you're only going to get paid if you follow the government's rules in a whole new dimension. And that's different than saying, you know, here are the specs, build this road, and once it's done, we're going to facilitate private commerce.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought, Grace Marie. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. She's the president of the Galen Institute. We got more to come after these messages. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and it's where you can find my blog and my newsletter and my knowledge base and thousands of articles and thousands of past interviews we've done, and we've got some little stuff there like Write This on a Rock, like Minute, like Motivational Minute. We got lots and lots of stuff there that will help you with your business. So Grace Marie Turner has deposited a lot of information with us, a lot of wisdom with us over the years, and I hope you will check out the body of work that she's deposited with us as well. And you can find her there on our homepage as well this week. Grace Marie, we were talking about one of the things that the president said last night was that he talked about health care reform, and he talked about affordable health care for every American. That sounds like code for universal health care. What do you think?
Well, universal government-run health care, as Governor Jindal pointed out. We're not against universal coverage. We want everybody to have health insurance. We just don't want the government to run it. The president's going to be hosting a summit next week on health care, I think, really as to be able to say that he's consulted with the American people, he's consulted with leaders on both sides of the aisle, and I think we're going to see a major health reform bill come in the next few weeks. There's an effort in Congress, actually, to pass sweeping health reform legislation by May. They want Senator Kennedy to be able to vote on this legislation. His health is failing, and they feel the clock is running to be able to get this done. It is going to be a huge, huge reach of government into our health sector. Already, we've passed the 50% mark with the government's involvement in our health sector. That needle is going to quickly start moving much, much further to have government not only control much more of our health spending, but they basically dictate all of the rest of it.
Do you think this is what he's talking about when he's talking about reforming Medicare and Medicaid? Not Medicaid, maybe, but Medicare.
Really, he's talking about that to some extent, but really what he's going to do is put what's left of the private health sector much more under the thumb of government, so that, in fact, I testified yesterday before Senator Kennedy's committee to talk about the shape of the benefits package. And I argued that businesses absolutely need flexibility in order to be able to provide the benefits that they can afford and to shape those policies in a way that meets the needs of their workforce and their pocketbooks. But I think what we're going to see is a dictate from Washington. You have to provide this extraordinarily generous health insurance that is like members of Congress get, but that costs $14,000 a year for a family of four. Many people,
which businesses can't afford.
They can't afford it. And so what he's going to do then is say, well, we'll pay everybody at government rates. so that physicians are paid much less, hospitals are paid much less. That's really the only tool that government has. It doesn't know how to get to a more efficient system. The tools it has are price controls and taxing and government authority and regulation. The private sector, we've seen with Walmart, for example, incredible initiatives to shape the private health insurance offerings for their employees to get 95% of their workforce covered. That's much better than the 83% covered in the country. But they've done it by giving employees lots of choice, giving them incentives to be able to spend that money wisely, and at the high end, partnering with people like the Mayo Clinic to do high-end surgeries. That's the kind of efficiency government is not going to do, but that we've got to rely on the private sector for.
Well, if what you're saying is true, we won't have a private healthcare sector.
And what I worry is that this is going to happen.
The quality of healthcare will go down.
Absolutely, but people are going to just be told, we're going to fix all this. Don't worry your pretty little head about it, because we're going to get your costs down and we're going to give you more choices. That's going to be the rhetoric, but the reality is we are all going to have many fewer choices. They're going to be dictated by government. Many, many more physicians, hospitals, and others in the health sector are going to be under the thumb of government price controls, more government regulation. It's a way of getting control over this one-sixth of our economy, not just the half of it government already controls, but really the rest of it. And all of us are going to pay the price in a lot of ways.
When you go to Europe, you'll hear, depending on which country you go to and who you talk to, you may hear people say they love their healthcare system, but then ask them the price that they pay for that. Mm-hmm. And when they tell you the layer upon layer and the rate upon rate of taxes that they pay over there, you will conclude, you know what? I think I like my old healthcare system better, not this government-run healthcare like they have in Denmark and Sweden and Germany and France and England. And I'm telling you, it is an oppressive tax system that is required. And more than that, Grace Marie, even as it stands, as oppressive as it is, it's not money to sustain itself.
But what happens in those countries is they say they love their healthcare system because they don't have any alternatives. In most of Canada, all except Quebec, it's illegal to buy any medical services that are provided by the government on your own.
Think about that, folks. What if you needed more? What if you could afford more and you couldn't get it for your own family because somebody made it illegal? Ladies and gentlemen, I think Grace Marie is right. That's the direction we're headed in. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. Right back after these messages. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. She's with the Galen Institute.
After you've had it, you're in an awful fix.
Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. She's with the Galen Institute. Grace Marie, give us your website. Tell us a bit about Galen.
Love for people to visit us at Galen, GALEN.org, named after the second century Greek physician. We focus on free market ideas for health reform, and I do a weekly electronic newsletter that's free. If people want to stay current with what's happening in this healthcare debate, I invite you to send us your email address and we'll send it out to you at Galen, GALEN.org.
Grace Marie, and folks, I really encourage you to do that. By the way, can I get your Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform book?
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. The book, is there. This is how we're going to turn this health sector around to continue to give us the best quality health care in the world, and we can continue to make much more progress than we have toward making that health care much more broadly available.
Grace Marie, is there anything that we can do? What can individuals do? What can small business owners do? If we don't agree with universal health care, if we think the private sector should be more in charge of our health care, not the government, we already don't like, we've already seen what they do with Medicare and what they do with the post office and how they rob Social Security of a trust fund and to the tune of about $4 trillion. If we've already seen that, we don't want to do our healthcare system. What can small business owners do?
You know, I think it's so important for small business owners to have a voice through associations, professional associations, community associations, to let your members of Congress know how you feel, to get engaged, to call in to talk radio programs, to send letters to the editor, to let your members of Congress know through town hall meetings. If people who believe in the free market system do not have their voices heard, then the only voices we're going to be hearing are the ones who want a much larger role for government in our economy, not just our health sector, but our whole economy.
Do you believe
all of our voices heard.
Do you believe the current administration and the current leadership in Congress are assaulting our free market system?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you have tens of millions of jobs in the health sector, in the energy sector, and in the education sector, all reliant on taxpayer funding in perpetuity, there is very little room for private commerce and the kind of initiative that really has made this country a beacon of light for the world over the last 200 years, but especially the last half century. You cannot continue to tax an economy at the level that would be required to support the programs that he described last night and still allow private enterprise to continue. We are going to have much darker days ahead.
And what you just described is what is we don't even have to wonder what that would look like, ladies and gentlemen. All we got to do is look at Europe.
That's right.
In Europe, we're absolutely about to you know, have a fit over 7.8% unemployment. The idea that we might go to 8.5% is making everybody nuts. In Europe, they live with 10%.
10, and it goes, 10, 15. It's very high. I mean, a lot of people just lost, even given up looking for jobs because they don't exist. And that's the dark days. This country has to, we understand the importance of initiative and reward, and no one understands that more than small business owners. You've got to have a reward for your effort. If all you see are barriers of government rules and government regulation, more government taxes, the only people that are being rewarded in the economy are the ones who are playing by government rules, then you've sapped the initiative that has made this country great.
And see, and here's the irony, Grace Marie. The Europeans would love to have our form, our spirit of entrepreneurship, but they don't know how to get it because of what you just said. They have what you just said.
Right. And in fact, when I go to Europe, they do. I mean, they, of course, criticize our healthcare system because they think we've got 46 million people who are permanent underclass of uninsured people who never have access to health care. And we, of course, know that's absolutely not true. But as a result, but when you really get them in a closed room, they're saying, what can we learn from America? Because we know you've got this right. We know you've got quality health care.
Who are wishing we had what they have, which makes no sense. Grace Marie, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
Keep up the good fight, Grace Marie. We're counting on you.
We will indeed. Thank you.
Grace Marie Turner with the Galen Institute, ladies and gentlemen. Galen.org. I hope you go there and check it out. Support what they do. They're a strong voice in this debate, and we need to support Grace Marie and her organization. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.